Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
No, Ja'Marr Chase will miss the Patriots game unless his appeal is successful. My understanding is he is going to appeal, with his argument essentially being, as far as I understand, if he was going to spit on Jalen Ramsey, would have spit in the face rather than just on the floor or on his jersey. We'll see if a jointly appointed appeals officer, either Derek Brooks, Ramon Foster, or Jordy Nelson, we'll see if they agree. That ruling should come tomorrow. But yes, the NFL suspended.
About that,
there you go.
What an excuse from Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, you'd know if I wanted to spit on you, it'd be right in your face.
And I believe the individual actually hearing that case is going to be Jordy Nelson.
Okay,
so
you might have some receiver sympathy.
His excuse is, well, Jordy, you know how it is with these face masks on. You spit into the face mask, spit goes everywhere. It hit him in the shoulder or on his body. If I was going to spit on him, I would have spit in his face.
He would
see.
He'd know.
So I didn't intentionally spit on him. I just spit off to the side. It deflected. It hit him.
Hit him like in the jersey, didn't it?
One magic loogie curved around and got him right on the jersey. But if I was going to spit on him, I would have spit in his face. That's the Ja'Marr Chase defense?
Yep.
So I don't think he's going to win that appeal.
Nope.
I don't see that going well for him.
He's not playing. And it may not have mattered anyway. I mean, there's no Joe Burrow. The Bengals are a mess. But he's a really, really, really good individual player. And I just go back to the Falcons game, which ended up being a really close game, came down to like a missed extra point. And Drake London had an awesome game. And even if you want to point out, well, you know, Christian Gonzalez on Drake London did a pretty good job. All right. Well, he wasn't on him the whole game.
No.
Drake London had 3 touchdowns. And so,
and one of those plays when he was on him, Drake London caught it over him, fell on top of him, injured him.
So, right.
Oh, it's just made a ridiculous highlight reel catch over him. But in general, you'd be right. Gonzo didn't let Drake London do as much as like Marcus Jones.
No. And that's why I thought at the very least you would get a good challenge for the secondary. Do you see T. Higgins? I mean, the Bengals last game, he had an awesome touchdown. So, like, I don't know. I feel like those two guys are one of the best duos in the league. Carlton Davis, Christian Gonzalez, Marcus Jones, whatever, the safeties, they would have an opportunity to you know, be challenged, even if the Patriots should win the game pretty convincingly. And now you take that element out of it, like, it's just as a fan, it's kind of upsetting. I'm not saying he shouldn't be suspended. He should. That's stupid. You can't be doing that stuff.
Yeah.
But I was hoping to watch him play.
No, same. And it would be good to, I mean, I don't know how much the Bengals either way are going to, and no one's going to come in and be like, oh, you shut down Ja'Marr Chase, now you're a Super Bowl contender. Like, I think people are still going to look at it and go, it's the Bengals, big deal, everybody beats them. Mm-hmm. But now when you beat Cincinnati, it's going to be like, well, yeah, it was the Bengals without Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah,
like, you're going to hear more of that, which shouldn't matter. Like, you should be able to look at it and ignore people like Cam Newton and Fool's Gold and, you know, whoever else has brought this up. There's been critiques and criticisms about the Patriots and who have they beat.
Yeah.
And do they deserve to be a contender? And is it an insult to have Drake May in the MVP conversation with, you know, the Matt Staffords of the world, et cetera? I think that's all pretty easy to ignore, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And just know, they went to Buffalo and beat the Bills. They went to Tampa and beat the Bucks. Those are 2 great wins.
Yeah, and if they win this game, I mean, you're right. It's going to be people like that point to the bad schedule. They'll have more evidence of that. However, they'll be 10-2. Like, 10-2, regardless of who you're playing in the NFL, is really good. And they'd be undefeated on the road.
And I wouldn't say that about the Colts, though. Like, if the Colts are 10-2, I'd be like, you're still suspect.
But I don't think they're going to get to 10-2.
No, I don't either.
The point. 10 wins is a lot of wins to have to like they're all fluky wins.
But I would still look at it, and I would cite Sam Darnold a year ago as an example. The Vikings were 14-3. We never believed them. All year, every time we did tiers or power rankings or discussed teams around the league or anything, we're like, I don't believe in that team. It's crazy, but I don't.
If the Colts, though, get to 10-2.
We were right not to believe in them.
Yeah, but I guess I was looking at the Vikings like, all right, that's a ton of wins. Like, I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl. Just like, I don't think the Colts will win the Super Bowl. And people might argue that the Patriots aren't going to win the Super Bowl still. That's fine. But 10-2, you got to be doing something right. And in the case of the Colts, just for this year specifically, if they get to 10-2, that means they beat the Chiefs and the Texans next. So if they beat the Chiefs and the Texans, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
10-2.
I mean, we'll have to give them more credit. But to me, just to defend my own take on this, I'm never going to believe in the Colts because of the quarterback. I don't think you can say that about the Patriots and Drake May.
That's true.
Like, I never believed in the Vikings because of Sam Darnold. I won't believe in the Seahawks because of Sam Darnold. I don't believe in the Colts because of Daniel Jones, like, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think you can do that with the Patriots. I mean, if you don't believe in Drake May, then I guess you don't. He's never even been to the playoffs, never mind won a playoff game, never mind gone on a run, never mind won a Super Bowl. But the way he's playing to me and the fact that he was a high pick a little over a year ago, and a well-regarded prospect, like coming into his final year at UNC, he and Caleb Williams were neck and neck for the number one pick. He went third. Good pedigree there. Already he's realizing his potential. Like, I think it's a mistake for anyone who thinks May and Daniel Jones belong in the same bucket.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the Patriots are winning with smoke and mirrors, or even like, you know, Jonathan Taylor's having an unbelievable season, and there is that part of it. And you know what? Maybe, like, that would be old school. Like, if this Colts team was playing in the 90s, like, maybe you could win that way.
Yeah.
But it just feels like eventually you're going to be asked to make some plays throwing the ball. And I don't know, Jones is having a good season, but I'm with you. I don't truly believe in him. I mean, hell, we had a whole tier of quarterbacks that I don't believe in, and doesn't mean you're going to necessarily miss the playoffs. Doesn't mean you're out in the first round, but the thought of one of those guys ripping off three or four straight wins against the best competition, it's pretty unlikely.
But I'm with you. If Chase were out there, maybe you'd feel better if they have a shutdown performance against the Bengals. We're like, now this is one of those games where it's like, how do you know, how do you have any real takeaways about the team other than, well, they just keep winning and winning is good.
Yeah, like no letdown. Like, I think that's impressive. You know, the Jets game was one of those ones where it was like, all right, it's Thursday night, so there's that difference to it. But it was obviously a bad team. They were big double-digit favorites. And it's been impressive that really only two, like, legitimate tests in Buffalo and Tampa Bay, but everything else in between, there's been no let-up. You see let-up all the time around the league. There's upsets every single weekend, and the Patriots have been able to avoid that. I mean, them and the Broncos have both won 8 in a row. So they've done a great job of not, you know, taking their foot off the gas.
Text line, squeaking out a victory against Buffalo against a Bills team that gave the ball away means May is now a made man. Well, I don't think that alone did it, but going to Buffalo,
that started it.
He also led a game-winning drive at the end of that game, so I wouldn't ignore that. And then he followed it up and did it at Tampa. Those are the two real tests he's had. And he won those. He also lost to the Raiders, who are trash, and I really, in retrospect, can't believe they lost to that team. Mm-hmm. He lost to Pittsburgh as well. I mean, it all counts. But I would say, he feels like a made man right now. He can't prove that he's going to be good in the playoffs until he gets to the playoffs. And in the meantime, he's passed just about every test.
Well, if they win this one, too, they'll be undefeated in both October and November. So that's pretty good.
I'd say that's good. Yeah. This is also good. A lot of things are good. 10-2. Or 10-2, rather. I already blew the joke.
Oh, damn it.
Pat's potential record this weekend, Jones and Keefe, Nick and Billy, 10-2. America, says Alex.
USA.
Nailed it.
I like it. Appreciate the kind words. Too bad Jones can't read.
I jumped ahead.
Would have crushed it.
I skipped right ahead of the punchline. So look, I think it's hard to ignore what they're doing. I am kind of at a point where I'd be a little disappointed if they weren't the one seed.
Oh.
Right?
You're there? Yeah, I think because when you project the schedule, I think on the surface right now, you're like, all right, Broncos are 9-2, Patriots are 9-2. Colts, I don't think are going to be 9-2. I think they're going to lose this week to the Chiefs, so then that would knock them down to 8-3. But Curran kind of talked about this when we had him on, too. Denver has really one layup game, and the rest of them, well, the first two are pretty easy, I should say, at Washington, at Vegas.
And they've already, you know, won their Chiefs game, one of them.
Yeah, but now they got to go to, then they have Green Bay, Jacksonville, at Kansas City, and then the Chargers.
Yeah, no, we went through all these schedules last week. And
they already lost to the Chargers once.
It's a huge advantage for the Patriots. So I'd be a little disappointed if they weren't number one. Like, I'm kind of assuming they're going to be the one seed based on the remaining schedules.
It's wild.
And based on, oh, by the way, every time you go play somebody, Ja'Marr Chase is out. Is Jackson Dart going to play the following week against the Pats? Probably, but let's see when we get there. You know it won't be Scataboo. You know it won't be Neighbors. Now you're on to the Bills game where you get them. You're waiting after a bye week, sitting there waiting for them, fresh as a daisy at home for Buffalo. And then the week after that, it's Baltimore. Let's see what that looks like. But those are two challenging games on the schedule. You close it out with Miami and whatever other game I'm missing in there, and that's what you have left. So, yeah, I'd be a little disappointed, or at least I'm now expecting the one seed. I expect them to get the one seed.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it, because how many more losses are realistically on the schedule for the Patriots? Because before, we were like sort of given the Bills game, given the Ravens game. I'm not doing that. You said yesterday maybe you split those games.
I think it's fair to expect them to split those games.
Yeah, I do too, but it's also, you can't even rule out them just...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going on a run, but let's say they split those games. The other ones just seem so far-fetched. Like, I know there's the Any Given Sunday thing, but we just went through this with the Jets on Thursday. That team, like, it's just not happening. Like, you spot them a touchdown on the opening drive, and then they just can't really, they don't have the talent, they don't really have much going on. So you play the Jets and the Dolphins at the end of the season. I really don't see that happening.
Jets was the other game I was missing. Thank you. That was the other one. Yeah.
So Jets and Dolphins, and then because of all these injuries and, like, the, just looking at the personnel, Bengals and Giants, you just don't really see it either. Now, this is the other, obviously, kind of wild card in all this. Milton Williams is down for four games. All right, what does that look like? You know, I think when we were doing this exercise before, you were including him, or we were including him.
I don't expect to notice it the next 2 weeks, but against Buffalo and Baltimore, you might. And that could be
Allen
that could
and
be
James
a swing.
Cook and you know, Lamar and Derrick Henry, like that is definitely a big time challenge. But no, I mean, everything is kind of breaking right for him overall.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We have WEEI afternoons on the way at 2 o'clock. Yeah, got Hart. Yeah, got Fitzy. Yeah, got Ted. So stay tuned for it. We'll also get you the clip du jour and grab bag coming up here in just a little bit. We talked about the Raiders game last night, Keefe.
Yeah.
I'd be giving Brady a lot of credit if the Raiders' schedule or record, rather, was flipped, or even if they were just a team in the mix in the AFC. I'd look at it and say, Tom Brady got there. He's a winner. He had influence over ownership. He helped pick the coach. He helped pick the quarterback. Tom Brady deserves credit. And, oh, by the way, Robert, why'd you cheap out and not give him a portion of the franchise? Look what's happening in Vegas. Instead, they're 2-8.
Oh.
And instead, they looked horrible again last night.
Yeah, they're real bad.
For this, we've seen them on national TV the last 2 weeks. Brady wasn't at the game.
It's too much.
The Thursday nighter against Denver, he was at the game last night.
It's too much, but
it is too much Raiders. How much blame does Brady deserve for how poorly they've been this year?
I mean, I think he does have a say. Like, I'm not going to ignore it. He's obviously not the majority owner. He's not the team's GM. But I think as much as any kind of minority owner and sort of like his status can influence the owner, it would be Brady and Mark Davis. So I would say Pete Carroll might have been sort of influenced by Brady. That hasn't worked out. Geno Smith, probably influenced by Brady. That hasn't worked out. Maybe even Ashton Jeanty. I mean, I don't know if Brady's even going to pretend like he knows all the college prospects and things like that, but maybe he sort of at least was like, you know, after what he saw and looking at all the guys that were available at that spot, maybe it's one of those things where you're like, hey, just another voice in the meeting.
I'm sure he gave input. I definitely believe he had influence with Carroll and Geno Smith and those decisions.
Well, we heard about it because they made a big deal about it on Monday Night Football all those weeks back when he was on headset. right? That's not normal. But then didn't we hear the reports that he talks to Chip Kelly like all the time?
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, you're trying to influence your this thing. You're trying to be a big part of it, and the results are horrible.
And the offense is so bad. They can't run the football. And so, look, maybe Brady wanted Genty. I think that one's harder to know. I guarantee you he had influence with Carroll, and I guarantee you he had influence with Geno Smith.
He's
and
that's, trying.
And that, yeah, and that's not a team trying to tank. That was a team that was trying to win games. You said it earlier. Geno won 10 games last year with Seattle. Pete Carroll's been a winning coach. They drafted a running back in the top 10, not to try to tank, but to try to win.
No, because this isn't just like an investment thing for Brady. Like for a lot of owners or minority owners, I don't know how it works when you're a billionaire and or even a millionaire. Like I don't know how that all works, but they get a percentage, and then they probably just sit back and count their money, maybe go to a few games. This is different. Like if he's talking to the offensive coordinator, like you think a lot of owners around the league are like calling up the offensive coordinator about like what they're installing and like what, you know, the red zone offense looks like.
Maybe Jerry Jones, like maybe a majority owner,
the Colts owner now.
Not yeah.
She's down there with the clipboard.
Actually, she might be. Yeah. But not like not a guy who owns 6% of the team. No.
They wouldn't even answer your call. But it's Brady. So they are. So it seems like he wanted to have his fingerprints on this thing, and at least for most of year one, it has gone pretty sideways.
Yes, and I'm not going to tell you I thought the Raiders were going to be good.
No.
I didn't think they'd be this bad. I think even if you expected them to be bad, Brady has to wear some of that.
They might be worse than last year.
I think they are. Yeah. They were a 4-win team last year. They're trending to be worse than last year. And I think in some ways, less competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least last year, Brock Bowers was their first-round pick, and they felt like they were kind of in some games late. They had a game late against Kansas City last year where Bowers like kept them in it. So, yeah, I don't know. They feel worse this year, but I guess we can look up at the end of the year grade it.
Right.
Meanwhile, if we're going to grade right now, their pick at, I think the Raiders were six, the Pats were four. I didn't want Will Campbell at four. In fact, Keith, you went back and found it was one of the players I did not even want the Patriots to draft, like players I wanted nothing to do with at all at the draft, which makes sense. I didn't want him at four. I also found out that most of our listeners were against that pick.
Oh, no. I think it's just it has to do with the position. You're just not all that excited about
56% it. 56% of our listeners, we did hate it or love it, like daily evaluating different prospects.
Yeah, you had to pick it. You either love it or you hate it. There's no in between.
56% hated it.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so I wasn't alone in not liking the pick, but I definitely wanted Genty. Like, I don't know who all those other people wanted it for.
Mm-hmm.
Genty last night was atrocious. 6 carries for 7 yards?
Yeah.
Couldn't get out of the end zone on a safety?
He had an 11-yard run.
I forgot about that.
But he had 7 total yards.
He had a long of 11, but somehow ran for 7.
And basically quit on a safety. Stood behind the line.
Buck called him out. He's like, yeah, fine. They're breaking through, and they're in your backfield. Don't stop. You're in the end zone. Don't stop. Keep the legs churning and just get out to save your team some points. He didn't do that.
Yeah, no, he's been very underwhelming. Now, his team's bad, but he, for a guy that was picked in the top 6, he's on pace now for 942 yards, which I guess like the worst.
No, it's not worthless, but in 17 games, that's also not very good.
3.7 yards a carry.
Right.
He has 4 rushing touchdowns, 3 receiving. Remember, he had a touchdown week 1 against the Pats, but he didn't do much.
No, he had like 30 yards.
No running backs against the Pats have really done anything. So, yeah, you need like a massive impact. I don't mind taking a running back in the first round. We were both high on Genty that whole process. But usually you need to reward it. You need to be Ezekiel Elliott in his first year, Saquon Barkley, like those type of guys.
Bingo.
He has not been that. In fact, before he got hurt, Scataboo looked like the far more productive running back than Ashton Genty. And he was picked how many picks after him?
Henderson's been more productive.
Henderson has. Yeah,
like, believe it or not, and most of it is, well, really most of it is that Tampa Bay game individually, but and most of it is recent.
Mm-hmm.
With Ramondre Stevenson getting hurt, but he's been more productive than Ashton Genty.
And that's why he has 50 fewer carries and 60 fewer yards.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And Henderson, I couldn't believe this when Nick said it yesterday. Henderson's at almost 5 yards a pop.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me.
A couple long ones help, but you're right. I mean, that's where he's at.
I mean, the whole first 8 weeks of the year, he barely went anywhere. He was averaging like 3 yards a carry. He's one of the least efficient backs in the league. Remember, we were talking about that the first month of the year.
That's why it's like, you know, it's not just Will Campbell or Ashton Genty. It's like we got Will Campbell and Trayvon Henderson.
They got
who knows what they do with their second round pick.
They got a more productive back in the second round than Genty to this point, and they got Campbell at 4.
Crushed it.
So the Pats nailed it. If you left me in charge of this offseason.
Raiders did not. Patriots did.
I would have built the team much more like Tom Brady and the Raiders, and it wouldn't be going
no,
so
No, but that's not fair.
It would have been Markelle Fultz and Brandon Ingram.
Well, no, but
N'Keal Harry.
We might have taken Genty at six if we were Brady, but we would not have hired Pete Carroll. Oh, I'm sorry. I would not have hired Pete Carroll, no, nor would I have signed, traded for, and extended Geno Smith.
You would have hired Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
You would have done what it takes. I would have hired my guy Liam Cohen.
I don't know what I would have done at quarterback. I'm trying to think what was even available to them, but I know I wouldn't have taken Geno
Smith.
Yeah, it
wouldn't have been Geno.
No, no, no.
Might not have been good.
No, could have been terrible.
But it wouldn't have been Geno.
For sure could have been trash.
I would have drafted Shadur like six different times in that draft. That's probably what I would have done.
Who would I have taken?
I probably would have taken Shadur.
Shadur Sanders.
Yeah, I probably would have taken Shadur.
At six.
In the second round. No, probably at six.
At six.
Then second round, third round, fourth round. I would have taken Shadur like five different times.
All right, so you would have been worse.
Yeah. Well.
But you would have the number one pick this year.
I don't know if they'd be worse.
Well, they are pretty bad.
They're pretty bad.
Maybe the same. Maybe the same.
Okay. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Meanwhile, we have the clip du jour on the way. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Grab Bag.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.